not only the messages, but the fellowship. We know that these are odd times, and it's a little bit different for everyone, but we hope that this has been a blessing to you. We do continue to ask you to like the stream, share the stream. The more people that we can contact, that's more opportunities to get the gospel out. And like I say many times, it's not about promoting a church or a preacher, but it's about promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're doing this for. So I'm glad you're with us tonight. Tonight, Brother Steve Neff will be bringing the word tonight. But first, Brother Terry was going to be coming and ministering to us in song, and then Brother Steve will be bringing the word. But before we do that, I do want to encourage you to, if you have any prayer needs, or if the Lord deals with your heart tonight, you feel free to reach out to us, message us privately. We'll have phone numbers posted later on, and I know that sounds very realistic kind of deal, but we honestly have a sincere heart to pray for your need. And if the Lord does deal with your heart in a matter of salvation, reach out to us. You don't have to go through it alone, and we can help guide you in the right direction. But let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Terry to minister to us in song. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just come to you just thankful for another day in your house, Lord, and we just ask you to be with us in the midst of this place tonight. Lord, we ask you to be in each and every home, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bring, Lord, and we continue to claim that souls will be saved through this ministry and Christians will be revived in it. Lord, we ask you to be with Brother Steve tonight as he preaches your word. Lord, I ask you to preach him like you never preached him before. Give him a hedge of protection around this place, Lord, that we won't have any distractions or anything else. But Lord, we love you, and we just claim victory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Terry.
I'd say it's good to be saved tonight, most of all, and glad that when I called upon the Lord, he came to my rescue and give me exactly what I need. And if you're here tonight and you have a need, all you have to do is call upon the Lord, and he will supply that need. A walking miracle, a talking miracle. Since Jesus reached way down his hands and rescued me, he took my blame, he bore my pain, and I will never be the same. Since Jesus made a walking miracle of me, I owed a debt I could not pay. I had no hope, no other way. Then in despair, I called upon my Savior's name. Down on my knees, the answer came. I could feel his touch change. Then Jesus made a walking miracle of me. A walking miracle, a talking miracle. Since Jesus reached way down his hands and rescued me, he took my blame, he bore my pain, and I will never be the same. Since Jesus made a walking miracle. Called up Lazarus out of the grave. He made the crippled man walk away. He healed the deaf and dumb. He took the blind man and made him see. And like a miracle he did back then. Oh, he went and done it once again. When Jesus made a walking miracle of me. a walking miracle, a talking miracle. Since Jesus reached way down his hands and rescued me, he took my blame, he bore my pain, and I will never be the same since Jesus made a walking miracle of me.
Amen.
The ship was tossed cause the sea was rough. The winds were blowing high. Peter and John were searching for a way they could all live and not die. Then they remembered the one that had led them was down in the ship fast asleep. They said, "Let's tell Jesus the winds are a-blowing. I know Master can speak. It's time to wake up the Master. The ship's going down. The waves are churning and turning my life upside down. It's time to wake up the Master. He's got what I need. When the Spirit moves in, it wakes the Master in me." When things get tough and things a little rough, there seems to be no hope inside. There's one who cares, your burdens he will bear, he'll make all things just right. Just call on the Master, he'll give life ever after. Heaven can now be your home. When the Master came in and forgave all your sins, a new life in Christ has begun. It's time to wake up the Master. The ship's going down. The waves are churning, turning my life upside down. It's time to wake up the Master. He's got the words that I need. When the Spirit moves in, it wakes the Master in me. When the Spirit moves in, it wakes the Master in me. Master in me.
Glad that we can call on the Lord. It don't matter in the middle of the night, middle of the day. 100 people can be around us, or we can be by ourselves. We call out to the Lord, and He said He would come to our rescue and come to our need. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that the many promises of God. Amen. And if you don't have that promise tonight, you can have that promise before the services is. You can have that promise right now just by calling out to Him, because He said, Brother Steve, whosoever in the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not a thought. That's not a suggestion. I'm glad that is a absolute promise tonight. Amen.
In a world that's filled with so much suffering, sometimes we wonder why these things must be. A loved one with such pain beyond our understanding. Makes me long for that land where there will be no young ones crying, no old ones dying, in a world free from all disease. On the hills of glory, I'll tell my story of how Jesus, he saved the wretch like me. When the time shall come for me to leave my home down here, I will go to that land prepared for me, where death's a stranger and there will be no pain or fear. I'll inherit a home called heaven where there will be no young ones crying, no old ones dying, in a world free from all disease. On the hills of glory, I will tell my story of how Jesus, he saved a wretch like me, of how Jesus, he saved a wretch like me.
Amen. Hey, good singing. Good singing. I'm glad Brother Terry was able to come with me tonight. We've worked together numerous times through the years. And if the Lord tarries his return, hope to work with him a whole lot more in the days ahead. Well, it's been good so far. This week, I've fell to the tonight to preach. There are several young fellers and one old man. And I hope he's listening and he heard me say that. But it's good to be here tonight. We've enjoyed this and we've enjoyed the responses that many have given us. And it's just something different. We're in a different time, a different place, and we don't know about tomorrow. I told Brother Terry tonight as we started this way, I said, this very well, Carlos, could be the very last time I preach. We don't know what will happen, and we don't know. You may be out there listening, and you may be in a terrible shape tonight worried about tomorrow. But as Terry's already mentioned, you don't have to. You can get your hearts right. You can get your relationship with Jesus Christ straightened out. And you'll not have to worry about if something befalls upon you. When they, talked to me last week or so about, let's start a Facebook revival. I guess I'm like a lot of the older preachers, Carlos. I thought, well, I don't know for sure if that'll work, but it's worth a try. And then I've seen very well that I believe it's a new medium for us. Some of us, it's never done something like this, and it's been a blessing for that. But tonight, when they did call on me to preach, I noticed that they wanted me to preach on Wednesday night, April Fool's Day. And as I began to meditate, I thought I was going a different way. But the Lord just continued to deal with my heart about a verse here in Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse 15. If you was in my church tonight, I'd ask you to stand, but I couldn't tell you tonight if you are, so I'll just read a few verses here, or a verse here. I'll begin my message after a word of prayer. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Let's pray. Father, once again tonight, I need you. Once again tonight, Lord, I need you worse tonight than I did the last time I stood behind the sacred desk. Father, tonight we don't know who might be listening. We don't know tonight, Lord, who around this country or in this community has tuned in to hear the Word of God. For tonight, though, whoever it might be, whoever tonight has a need, or Lord, maybe there's something not right in their life, that God tonight, that you'll continue to help them and direct their hearts that they might turn to you. Father, these days we're in, they're troublesome times. God, they are at a time and a place that even I have no idea what's next. But God, tonight, I would that every man, woman, boy or girl tonight that might hear the words of this stammering preacher, God, that they might examine their hearts and they might be saved. Father, once again, as always, I ask you for the unction, the power of the Holy Spirit, and ask you, God, to consume me tonight, that I'd be used for your glory. And I'll praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I want to say tonight that people are strange. People are strange. They have some crazy beliefs. They absolutely do. Especially when it comes to they examine themselves as a lot of times as being wise. And they think that they know the best for them. But in reality, they're fools. They're fools. Ben Franklin made a statement once. He said, the learned fool writes nonsense in better language than the unlearned. But he also said, it's still nonsense. And I'm telling you today, that's what we're finding more and more. I've heard so much foolishness. I've heard so many things that I just don't even want to understand how people come up with it. The Bible tells us 113 times about a fool. 113 or fools is mentioned in the King James Bible. There's 68 times that fool is mentioned in the book of Proverbs itself. And we understand very well, those that are Bible scholars understand and know that Solomon, the one that asked for wisdom, the one that had petitioned the Lord to give him wisdom, he was a man that was very smart, and he saw in his aspect more and more that people were foolish. Many that he said had vanity, which is a form of foolishness in itself. But within the New Testament, we find eight different words that are translated that relate to fool. We find very well that the fool, foolish, and foolishly, and foolishness is mentioned. Vine said in his dictionary, he said, without reason was a fool, without understanding, without any discernment Have you ever confronted someone like that? Have you ever confronted someone like that? And I mean, it seems like to me, more and more, we're seeing that. Such a foolish time. Jesus dealt with a Gadarene man. And he dealt with him in the tombs there, and that man was not in his right mind. That man was out into those tombs, and they said they couldn't even control him. I believe the Bible says that he would break the fetters that they put upon his hands. But that man, even though he had demons in him that the Lord would cast out, find him to be a type of a foolish man that we're seeing more of and more of today. I want to remind you tonight, I'm not contradicting what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 5. I'm not contradicting when he said that that man was in danger of judgment for calling someone a fool. I'm talking to you tonight about what Jesus said in his word, that he said that when someone was morally worthless, that they were a scoundrel or a reprobate. In that sense, he was talking about someone that called someone a fool because of a foolish action. If Jesus was contradicting himself in the Word of God, he would have changed that when he talked to the rich man in Luke 12 and began to speak to him. When he said there, when that man said, I'm going to tear down and build bigger. And Jesus said, or the parable says, Thou fool, tonight your soul be required of thee. Paul the apostle, he dealt with those at Corinth and who thought they were wise. That's how the word says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribes? And Paul was talking to them that they were foolish. Foolish. I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to you that are listening, and even you men that's here in this sanctuary tonight. I want to talk to you about a fool thinks he's always. A fool thinks he's always right, especially in his own mind. In his own mind. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that was a time that when there was no law, there was a time that there was no one sitting on the throne. There was no king in Israel. And man became in himself and began to do what he wanted to do and when he wanted to do. Solomon even said over here in the 12th verse of chapter 14, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, there's too many times we find that there's people think that they'll do what they want to do, and they'll do it how they want to do it and when they want to do it. The Bible tells us quite plainly, those people are foolish. When we look at the fool tonight and we begin to examine what's being said about him in the Word of God, it's easy to determine who this might be. I mean, if we look at the Word of God, God knows man inside and out. He has the ability to identify those who would be fools. He looks at our hearts tonight, Brother Ryan. He looks into our hearts and he understands who we are. The Bible says he's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible goes on to say there in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. If God knows the very heart of the sparrow, and then he surely would know the heart of man. I don't know tonight who I may be talking to. And tonight as I stand, and there's been much greater preachers than I have already preached this week, but it might be you tonight that's listening. It might be you tonight that needs to hear what is going to be said, thus saith the Word of God. Maybe you'll look at your heart. Maybe you'll compare yourself back to who you might think you are, and you find tonight that you're just being foolish and believing that you can do it away. Some of you may be already saying, don't you come, preacher, tonight and start looking at me. Don't you come tonight, preacher, and say that you can determine that I'm a fool. No, I can't. I'm not the one that can do that tonight, but I have one in heaven tonight. We have one in heaven tonight that can discern your heart and tell whether or not you're foolish. He knows who belongs to him tonight. He knows whose name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows tonight who belongs to him. So tonight we'll look at just a few things. And I'll try to be not too timely tonight. Hey, the Bible says there in Proverbs chapter 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He who trusts in his own heart will fail. He's going to fail because he is a fool. This person depends upon his own judgment tonight. He looks at himself and says, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I have no problem with that. I hear it too many times, Brother Carlos. I hear them people say, well, I just don't see it that way. But there's nothing I can say tonight except for what the Bible says. And when the Bible says it, it's the truth. There's not a thing tonight. If you trust in your own heart tonight, you are a fool. The Bible tells us here that when Solomon's speaking of the way of the fool, why is this person? Why do we look at tonight and say, "Who? Why is this person a fool?" Well, because man's heart, man's subject to error. The Bible tells us over in the 16th chapter, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't know where you stand tonight. I don't know who you think you might be tonight in your own self, but I know one thing. The Word of God will break your heart apart. It'll tear you apart, and it'll cause you to look on the inside. It'll break everything. It'll hide those things that we profess. Sometimes, as Paul said, professing themselves to be wise, he'll bring that out and cause us to look on the inside. Paul said that those that profess to be wise will become as fools. Hey, he understands tonight. See, man's heart is subject to error because he refuses to glorify God. It's folly tonight to believe and not honor him as such. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 1, and that's the chapter that they'd like for us to cut out of the Bible tonight and throw it away. But the Bible says in Romans 1 and 21 that they knew God, but they glorified him not as God. I'm telling you tonight, my friend sent me a message today, and he sent it out and said that we're supposed to praise the Lord. I want to say tonight, that's one thing we need to begin to look back into tonight. We have a God in heaven, and he is God, and he sits upon the throne tonight, and he is true, and he's just, but we forget that he is worthy of our glory. We ought to glorify. It says in Romans 1 there, and it goes on to say, neither were they thankful. I've never seen such a time, Brother Doug, tonight, that people were not thankful. I wonder sometimes, and you may not like what I've got to say, but I'm telling you tonight, I wonder if that's why we're going through what we're going through tonight, to get us back down on our knees, that we might call out to him and say, God, I want to thank you for what you've given me. I want to thank you for what you've allowed me to have. We seem to forget. I seen tonight, just very many, a few minutes ago, I was turning on my Facebook so I could link to this message tonight, and I saw where someone said, I need to be back in the house of God. I wonder how many people tonight are thinking in their hearts, oh, if I could just go to church on Sunday. The Bible said there in Romans 1 that they were vain in their imagination. I don't know, Ryan, if I can get through this tonight, but I'm going to tell you very well that people think they want it their way. They think this is the way I ought to be. This is what I ought to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We think up all these crazy things, but we never think what God wants us to do. Foolish hearts, Paul said, are darkened. How is it? Because that? Because we've quit. We've quit glorifying the Father. We quit glorifying the Son. Hey, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, and we turn Him aside and we say, no, I don't want to listen. I'm afraid. Too many times I've seen too many born-again Christians. I believe they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they've walked away because they wouldn't want to repent. They've walked away because they didn't want to turn back from what they was doing. They've walked away because their foolish hearts were darkened. Thirdly, because their heart is deceitful. It can't be trusted. Jeremiah said it quite plainly, the heart is deceitful. Above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Verse that we just looked at there tonight is our text verse. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In his own eyes. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, our hearts will deceive us. Our hearts will do that. I have two men in this church tonight that I guess I've preached to as much as any two men in this country. And I really want to think that I know both of their hearts. But when it gets right down to it, they may be deceiving me. I may not know who they are. They my friends. They've been friends that have stuck closer than a brother. But when you get down and examine their hearts, they might be deceiving me. Man's heart's that way. It's desperately wicked. And how do we know it? But God knows. God knows. God knows the intents. God knows everything in us. You may not like what this preacher's telling you tonight. You may say, I wanted something nice. I wanted something to tell you tonight. I bring you this tonight to tell you that God has set a judgment. And in His authority, we and recognize that He's the one that sets what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Man's problem is he set his judgment above God's. He set his judgment above God's. When we trust in our own feelings. Carlos, you've pastored longer than most of us have been alive. And I'm telling you tonight, how many times have you walked from that front seat in the church and you've walked up to climb behind the rostrum of the sacred desk and you know good and well that something wasn't right about what you was going to preach. Hey, something wasn't right. Your heart was being torn apart, but you was trusting in what you thought you were supposed to do. And how many times did God show you that wasn't right? That wasn't the way it's supposed to be. That's a problem we're having today. Too many people are coming in, and they're hearing the Word of God preached. They're hearing the Word of God being taught, and they turn their backs away from it because they say, we trust in our own feelings instead of His words. Instead of His words. And that makes us extremely foolish. He who trusts in his own words, his own heart, is a fool. Secondly tonight, he who says there is no God is a fool. The psalmist said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I want to tell you tonight, this thing's going out. It might be two people listening. It might be 2,000. I don't know. But there was a time and a place in my life that I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want to find Him. I sure didn't want Him to be after me. But something changed. On a Tuesday morning, at about 11:45 on May 18th, and I've got an anniversary coming up next month, God. I fell down on my face and I surrendered my heart to Jesus Christ. I called on Him and asked Him to save me. Didn't have a deacon. I didn't have a Sunday school teacher. I didn't have a preacher. My wife wasn't even home, but I called on Him and He come into my heart. But see, before that very day, before the May 18th at 11:45, I said, I don't want anything to do with Him. I was saying, I was foolish. The psalmist says here in the 14th psalm, he says, he describes it being abomination, abominable works, corrupt. filthy. Paul used the same words over there in Romans chapter 3 that the psalmist said there in Psalm 14. He said, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. I'm telling you today, you can take your Bibles and look at it. Paul was so smart. He was understanding. He was a man that said he was the Pharisees of Pharisees. He was learned in law. He had studied the Scriptures, but he realized that we had all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we were wicked in our hearts. We'd fallen short. He understood that the wages of sin was death. He understood all those things. And it was because there was none of us good. No, not one. God says in His Word, why does He say that a person is foolish? Why does He do that? Because He claims there is no God. I'm going to tell you tonight, you're listening to me. You may be sitting on the couch tonight somewhere. You may be listening on the rail as you go down the road. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you tonight that when you claim that there is no God, that you don't need any of this and you don't have to have this, I remind you tonight that God said you're a fool. Why does He make that claim? Why does God say a man's foolish? Why does God say that? Why does He say it's not because there's no evidence? I believe that we understand very well. You go over in the 19th Psalm, He said the heavens declare His glory. The glory of God. Hey, the firmament showeth His handiwork. You go out tonight, if it's not cloudy, and you look up to the sky, and you continue to look and look, and you can't tell me that there ain't something amazing about what we're seeing. You can't tell me. I went for a walk today, and I jogged about a mile down the road, and I reached up and felt in my old heart. And joy, it was just a thump, 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 thump. And I said, there's got to be a God. There's got to be a God. Keeps this all working. Just all going. His handiwork is evident. I don't understand it. I don't know how it all works, but I know there is one tonight. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're saying there is no God, then you're foolish. Foolish. See, man, why does God say that? Because man wants to believe what he wants to believe. My mentor, Brother John Zine, always told me, as I started out many, many years ago, he said, are just people. I'm telling you, more and more I see that. We do what we want to do. We go and do what we want to whenever we want to do it, and we think everything is good. That's foolish tonight. Foolish. They're contrary. I mean, man today is contrary to living God's way. And those that are living that way, they wish, Terry, that there was no God. I don't know anybody that I've ever heard that's ever came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that has not told me that they wished that they had got saved in life and not lived what they'd lived. I wished I had 20 years. I was a member of a church, the very church that I pastor, 20 years. But I had turned my back on God. I never truly accepted Him. And if I'd have died, the preacher, whoever it might have been, would have stood over my grave and probably said, he's all right. He was a awesome sentiment. He was all right. They baptized him in Friendship Baptist Church. He's all right. But in hell, I would have realized I'd been a fool. A fool. That's what man is today. They're contrary. Don't live God's way. Sinners wish there was no God tonight. I'm telling you, so many times people say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. No, don't tell me that. You're bothering me. I used to belong to a little old church over in Hubbard Springs. And I was called to preach, and one of the men that attended there was talking to me. And he said, Preacher, he said, I don't want to hear that old blood and guts. I don't want to hear about that. I don't hear about sacrifice. I don't want to hear that. That man today, I doubt he's ever gotten saved, because he don't want to hear what God's word says. No one is who they want to answer to. I'm telling you, that's the problem today, that too many people don't want to be under authority of God. God, he holds this thing upon his hand. He's capable. He spoke, the Bible said, and it came into existence. He created you and he created me. And if he's the one that can take the sinners, or take the blood of Jesus Christ that can cover a multitude of sins, he's able tonight to stand and judge you. One day, and you'll have to answer. So he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who says there is no God is a fool. And we understand quite plainly tonight, he who hears but does not obey is a fool. Now the Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says that there was a man that built his house upon the sand. He built his house upon the sand. And the Bible says he was a foolish man. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. See, I want to tell you tonight, if you don't have your hearts anchored into what Jesus told Peter, and the word of God, he said, Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He's not talking about this physical building. He's talking about the people of God coming in. Hey, listen. If you're hearing his word and it's bypassing you, you're just like the ones in John chapter 1 when the Bible tells us that Jesus came to his own. And his own received him not. Why is this man that does not hear? Why is this man that does not obey when he hears God's word? Why is he a fool? Because the Bible says that we're to be not only hearers of the word, but we're to be doers. I'm telling you tonight, that's a problem. Too many people have heard the word. They've white-knuckled too many benches too many times. They've walked in and out and they've listened to the man of God proclaim the word of God over and over and over, but they won't be obedient to what they're hearing. He calls, and he tells them over and over they need to be saved, but they don't. Our dear friend is in heaven now. His name was Bo Cope. He was a somewhat large man. You couldn't stop him. I would say, be safe, some of you men that are here tonight never knew him. But me and Carlos and all you men here would got his head starting a certain way, been hard to have ever stopped him. He come to my house one day, knocked on the door. I swung the door open, and he walked in. He come in, he sat down on the couch with us, and he said to me, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get up Sunday morning, and you're going to come to church with me. And that was an order. I mean, how do you take a 500-pound man and tell him any different? I couldn't. to the house of God that very next morning. You say, did you get saved? No. But I was listening to that command. And see, what happened was, just another week or two later, I went to the house of God on Easter. And I walked in, and the preacher began to preach. And as he preached, I heard his word. I stood about two or three pews back from the front with a quivering lip. Tears run down my face. The pastor's wife said, would you like to be saved? But what I said was, I'm already saved. I've been saved a long time. A long time. But she knew different. But see, what happened was I heard that word. I continued to hear that word over and over and over. And as it continued to delve my heart that very next week, I fell on my face and cried out to God. I heard his word and I obeyed. I've done a lot of foolish things, but that's one thing I didn't do. That was foolish. Lastly tonight, he who does not prepare himself for a judgment is a fool. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25, there was five foolish virgins. 10 had their lamps. But only five of them were described as foolish. See, those in the parable that Jesus gave, they had lived their lives for then. For right now, they had no consideration of what laid ahead. Now they knew the bridegroom was coming. They understood that. And they knew they had a lamp. And they knew that it took oil to run that lamp. But see, they forgot. They forgot the admonition to get ready. Get ready. I want to say tonight, it seems like to me that everywhere we're looking, everything we're hearing, everything we are seeing in the world today is giving me enough directive to know that it's time that we be getting ready. Those foolish virgins, they tried to find refuge in some sort of form, that they would do it the way everybody else did it, and it'd be all right. They thought it'd be okay that they just had a lamp, even though they didn't have a flame. They thought very well that just because they had that vessel, everything was going to be all right. And they knew they had been named to be of the 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And at the same time, at the very same time, those five that were prepared were waiting just along with those five that were foolish. And they neglected the oil that they needed for their lamp. If we look at that parable, we might understand very well tonight why they're called foolish. They're called foolish. Well, the reason is because there was a judgment to come. The Bible says, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I want to remind you tonight, you that are listening, you that's here in the sanctuary, how we understand very well that every one of us is going to stand before Jesus Christ. And one day, he's going to look at us, and he's going to look back and say, I tried to give you instruction. I tried to give you fair warning. I tried to tell you to get your heart right. How many times that I knock on your heart's door and say, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you'll call on me, you can be saved. But when we stand before him, good or bad, we'll be judged. Secondly, by forgetting the admonition to watch. The Bible says there in Matthew 25, verse 13, watch therefore. Watch therefore. Did you hear that? Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus himself said, I know not the hour, only my Father in heaven. I don't know when he'll come. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week, Joy Mae. It might be, by Carlos, you may go by the grave before he comes. But I do know this. It's closer than it was when we started tonight. And he's coming. Thirdly, how do we describe them, those as fools tonight? How do we know them? Because they have neglected the inner life. You're listening to me tonight, and you're wondering, how am I supposed to get my heart right? Well, Paul said, present yourself. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then he went on and said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, renewing of your mind. The Bible told us quite plainly here that a man that thinks his way and the way that he wants to think, the Word of God tells us he is a fool. The Bible tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've got to get our minds upon him. We've got to determine that we are going to live for him. We cannot neglect that inner man. And lastly, by believing that all that is necessary, all that is necessary is being a member while doing nothing else to prepare our hearts to meet him. Brother Tim pastors here now. And many times, I'm sure, he's walked down into the waters of this baptistry. I have myself. I pastored here for a few years, and I took many down into the water to be baptized. Baptized to join this church and become members of the body that worshiped here. But I'm scared tonight. There's too many. There's too many out there tonight that has never truly ever given their hearts to Jesus Christ, and they're trusting that somebody somewhere has pinned their name down into a church roll. And I'm going to tell you, they're foolish tonight, because they'll die and go to hell without Jesus Christ as their Savior. And without him, there's no place for them and that place called heaven. You're here tonight, or you're listening around the country, wherever you might be, you need to make sure that you're not trusting in water baptism, that you're not trusting in church membership, that you're not trusting in your good works. You're not trusting in communion services. You're not trusting in anything, but that you're trusting holy in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know who's still with us or who's, but you listen to this preacher. The Bible tells us that Jesus died and was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. And if you believe that, if you believe that, and the Bible tells us, trust in your heart and confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You're listening tonight and you're not saved. Wherever you're at, right now, won't you just fall down on your face? Won't you just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a fool. I've been trusting in me. I've been trusting in what I'm doing. I've been trusting in all the things that I can do. And I've never trusted you as my Savior. You may be listening tonight. You may be thinking that I can trust in me. But you're a fool. You're a fool. Now, if you're here tonight and if you're listening tonight and you say, there is no God, then you're a fool. You're a fool. If you think you don't have to obey what this Word of God says and what God is speaking to your heart that you're supposed to do, mind you, you are a fool. You better be prepared. You better be prepared. You better be prepared because judgment's coming. And there'll be a day and all the things that you've done won't add up to what he's done on the cross. Let's pray. Father, God, you knew what we needed. Nothing I can do tonight. I give exactly, Lord, what I felt like I was supposed to bring to those that would be listening. God, you know what is needed here in this place. And of those that are listening this area on Facebook and YouTube, Lord, all the means that they would have the opportunity to listen, my prayer, Father, is tonight that God, you deal with that one heart. That one heart would realize that they've not ever accepted you as Savior. And they would call on you and be saved. Father, once again, I thank you. I thank you for those that's with us here in the sanctuary. God, have your way in their hearts. Lord, that one tonight that's nearest hell, God, save them before it's everlasting too late. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. If you need help tonight, you can contact any of us via Facebook. You can call, I think Tim's number's on the screen. You can call or Brother Doug, myself, anybody. And we'll do whatever we have to do to help you. If you don't understand tonight what it takes to be saved, we can explain to you. We can take in detail. Hey, you may be listening tonight and you don't have Jesus. You need to call on him and be saved.